Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich for a schus for refuah shleima for their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for refuah shleima for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos, daf ayin zayin, and we will begin on daf ayin zayin amud aleph at the Mishnah, the top of the amud. Says the Mishnah, Ish shenalda by a mumin, a person who unfortunately, the husband unfortunately developed mumin, and kaifen oisei lahoitzi, we cannot force him to divorce his wife. And as the Rishonim point out, because a man, the husband, is much more sensitive about his wife having mumin versus a husband being sensitive. A man is sensitive about his wife. A wife is not sensitive about the husband, because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Ein Isha Ela L'Yoifi. A wife is only here for beauty. And if the wife's beauty is unfortunately diminished because of her mum, that is a real issue in the marriage. When does this halacha apply that we don't force the husband to divorce the wife, but mumin am ktanim, on small mumin that the wife is not particular about? Av mumin hagdolim, if he has serious mumin, then the halacha is kai fraisoi lahaitzi, then we demand that he divorce her. Normally, when it says kai fraisoi lahaitzi, it means that we not only try to convince him to get divorced, but as we're going to learn in the Gemara, it's much more. We could do whatever it needs to take to get her to give a get, and it's not considered get bar karchai. Normally, the halacha is a get that's given under duress is not considered a valid get. Here, that the halacha is that Chazal said they must get divorced. Since Chazal said that they must get divorced, the halacha is that there is no consideration, there is no concern about the get that's being given. One more very important point that the Rishonim make in understanding this Gemara, and is that the Rishonim point out that our Gemara is referring to a situation where there is no reason to be concerned that the wife is only using this as an excuse to get divorced. But in a case where we have reason to be concerned that the wife is saying what she's saying is because she's just trying to get herself out of the marriage, then of course, ain't kai fin ha'isa l'haitzi. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Tani, Rabbi Yehuda in learning the Mishnah said, shenaldu, that the mumin were only developed after they got married. Chiba Rav Tani explains our Mishnah, shahayu, that the mumin were there before they got married. And according to Chiba Rav, only in that case, as we're going to learn in a moment, where the wife knew about the husband's issues, there ain't kaifin ha'isai l'haitzi. But in a case where the wife was not aware of a husband's situation, it would be very different. The man d'amar naldu, so explains the Gemara, according to the man d'amar, that these mumim developed after they get married, koshkein haya. Certainly, if the mumim were there before they got married, the kasavra, this woman was well aware of these mumim, the kibla, and she accepted them, that she's prepared to live with this man, even though he has this mumim. Mandama hayu, the mumim were there before the marriage, there we can't force them to get divorced. Avonoldu, if the mumim came after they got divorced, according to this man, Damer, they could lie, we could force them to divorce her, because she could say, I wasn't aware that this is going to be the situation. So the Gemara attempts to bring a right to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and a question on the opinion of Chiya Bar Rav. Says the Gemara Tanan, We learned in a Mishnah, Amr of Shimon Gamliel, Bemedva Mamurim, Bemumiktanim. What is the case of our Mishnah where we can't force the husband to have to divorce her when it was Mumiktanim, Ava Bemumik Dailim? If it's Mumik Dailim, Kaifin Ayser Lahaitzi, we forced them to get divorced. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam Mandam and Noldu. According to Mandam, it says that our Mishnah is referring to women that only developed after they got married. Hanu Dishani, that's all we could understand the difference between big women and small women. That she has to be ready to accept Mumin Ketanim, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, but she's not obligated to accept Mumin Gedolim. But ask the Gemara, El Man the Omer, according to the Man the Omer who learns Pshara Mishnah, that the Mishnah is speaking about only Mumin that were there before the marriage. So if the Mumin were there before the marriage, and she knew about these Mumin coming into the marriage. So if that's the case, Mali Gedolim, Mali Ketanim. Why is there any difference if it's Mumin Gedolim or Mumin Ketanim? In both situations, Hasavra, she was well aware of this issue, the Kibla, and she accepted upon herself that this will be her husband, even though he has these Mumin. So why, if it's talking about Mumin that were there from before, why is there a difference between Mumin Ketanim and Mumin Gedolim? Answers the Gemara, that isn't a question. She was well aware of these Mumin beforehand. But Ksurihi, she was under the impression, she chayel kabel, that she could accept those Mumin, and that it won't make a difference if he has these big Mumin. V'achshav, but now she recognizes, she ain't yichayel kabel. So Mumin Ketanim, she can't make such a claim. If she knew that her husband has Mumin Ketanim, and she accepted it, now coming after the marriage and saying, well, this is not what I expected, is not going to work. Whereas when it's Mumin Gedolim, she could say, I thought I could deal with it, and now I realize that I cannot deal with it. Continues the Gemara, Veilhem Mumin Gedolim. So we've been learning that there's a difference between Mumin Gedolim and Mumin Ketanim, and the Gemara quote explains what a Mumin Gedolim. Pirush HaShimon Gamliel, Kigoyin Nismas Enoi, he unfortunately became blind, in one eye, Nikta Yada, he lost the arm, Nishbar Ragloi, and his feet, and he broke his legs. When we speak about the eye, the leg, or the foot, it's only one. Because if we would talk about both, explain the quotes to Shita or Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, everybody would agree, not just Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that she could demand a get. Etmar, Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, that by Mumin Gedolim we force him to divorce, but not by Mumin Ketanim. Rav Omer, Rav says in the name of Rav Nachman, that the Halacha is Kedivrei Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, how is it the opinion of Rav Yochanan that the Halacha is Rav Shimon Gamliel? Wherever Rav Shimon Gamliel is quoted in the Mishnah, halacha kamaitzai, the halacha is like him. Chutz, there are three exceptions. One exception is the case of an arev. Arev, we know, is somebody who agrees to be a guarantor to a loan. So the question is, if somebody is a loiver, he owes money, but he also has a guarantor backing him up. Can the malva go to the guarantor first, or could he only go to the guarantor if the loiver can't pay him? And the chacham paskin that you could always go to the arev first. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. V'tzaydin, the story in Masechta Gittin is where there was a person who said to his wife, I'm giving you a get with the condition that you give me back my coat. And the coat got lost. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if you give the value, if she were to pay him the value of the coat, it's adequate and the get would be a good get. The Chacham disagree, and he says that he wants the coat. And the fact that she's not giving him the coat makes the get an invalid get. V'raya chroina. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph discusses that if the person who was brought to Beis Din and there was a psak against him in Beis Din brings a new raya or new edim, the halacha is that we open up the case again. The Chacham's point is that once the case was decided, we don't open it up again. And again, here too, we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Gemara, here Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that we paskin like Rav Shimon, that we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning that everywhere else we don't necessarily paskin Rav Shimon Gamliel. But we just learned that we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yochanan holds we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Answers the Gemara, Amaroyim Nino Aliv Rav Yochanan. There's Machloikus Amaroyim. What is the opinion of Rav Yochanan? If we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, as this, the last Gemara we just learned, or is it only under certain circumstances that we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Says the Mishnah, Ve'elah Shekoifin Oysay Lahoitzi. In the following situation, these are the type of mumin that we force the husband to divorce his wife. Mukashchin is a husband that's full of different type of boils that are impossible to live with. Bal Polypus, the Gemara will explain what about Polypus is. Hamakamitz from Mitzaref and Chayshus, all this will be explained in the Gemara. Vaborsi. Ben Shayu, Achlay Nesu, and here the Mishnah is very explicit that this is the halacha whether these mumin were there prior to the marriage, or Ben Mishnesu, or if these mumin were there even after they got married. So the Ritva explains that Kaifin and Lahoitzi means that we do whatever is necessary to make them get the divorced. The Ritva asks that our Mishnah speaks about all of these unfortunate physical defects that the husband has. Why doesn't the Mishnah include, asked the Ritva, that if a husband says that I will not support my wife, that we force him to divorce her? So Ritva explains that the Tan of our Mishnah is only identifying where the husband, where the wife could remain with the husband. And therefore, the halacha is that we still force him to get divorced, even though there's no issur. When a husband refuses to support his wife, he's going against the halacha. Certainly, a husband who goes against the halacha is that the wife has the husband and the wife has a right to demand. Says the Mishnah, Vakulan Amar Meir, and regarding all of these different type of movement we've learned in our Mishnah, Apishesnima, Amar Meir, Meir says, Apishesnima, even if the wife said as they got married that I am prepared, I know what your situation is, and I'm prepared to remain married to you, she can now turn around and say, Svura Yisi Shani Chayil Kabel, I was under the impression that I could remain with you this way, and now I realize that I can't be married to such a man. May all these women, if when they got married, it was understood that he has these conditions and she accepted, she has to remain with him, except if the husband has a problem being a mukashchin, that causes it, it's such a terrible disease that loch is that she could say, I thought that I can manage, but I realize I can't. Why will be the halacha at the Rishonim debate that she knew about the mumin, but she didn't say explicitly, I think I could manage with them? The Rashba says that since she didn't say anything before the marriage, since they didn't talk about it. So the Rashba's opinion is that in such circumstances, she could say, Svuri Yisrael Kabul, I thought I can manage, Vachshav any Yisrael Kabul, I can manage. However, there are the other Rishonim that say no. And they say the fact that she was aware of these mumin, even though she didn't explicitly say anything, itself understood that what she meant to say was that I'm prepared to live with this, and now she can't back out. Ma'aseh b'tzidin, so says the Mishnah, there was this episode in Tzidin, b'bursi echad shemes, there was a bursi, a leather worker who died, v'hayolei ach bursi, and he had a brother who was also in that line, profession. Amr Chaim, so Chaim said, Yechayel hi shetaymer, this wife could say, l'chicha yisi chayel kabel. So now the brother wanted to do Yibam. And she doesn't want to have Yibam. And she says, I don't want to have Yibam from a husband who is a Bursi. And the Yavam says, well, you have obviously indicated that being a Bursi is not something that is an issue because you married my brother who was a Bursi. says the Mishnah, she could say, Yechayel Isha Timer, she could respond, L'chicha Yisi L'chayel L'kabel, I was prepared to marry your brother even though he was a Bursi, L'chayel Yechayel L'kabel, but not you, and therefore, under such circumstances, he only has an option of doing Chalitza, not Yibum, explains the Ritva. And Rashi explains, why do we accept her claim? Because she could say that although my husband was indeed a Bursi, and as we're learning, being a Bursi comes with all sorts of issues, but she say he was such a wonderful person, he had such wonderful midos, that even though he had this defect, that he was a Bursi, I was prepared to marry him because of who he was. You don't have those wonderful midos, and since you don't necessarily have those wonderful midos, I'm not prepared to live with you. The Rishonim say, even if she doesn't come up with that type of a speech, the fact that she could say so, and the fact that this person has this defect, is enough of a reason that she has a legitimate claim not to have Yibam. My Bar Pilippus, so the Mishnah spoke about a Pilippus. Ask the Gemara exactly what is about Pilippus. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, somebody who has Reach Mechoyten, he has bad odor coming out of his nose. But Misnisatana Reach Apaya, somebody who has bad breath. Rav Apsi Masna Ipcha. Rav Asi said just the opposite, that Shmuel is the one Dama that says the Pilippus has the Reich HaPeh, and the Bryce is the one that says the Reich HaChoyta. And he says the Gemara Manach Basimona. Rav Asi made a simon to remember who said what. Shmuel, like Pasuk Pumei, that Shmuel did not stop speaking Milkula Pirkin in our entire Perik. What the Gemara means to say here, explained the Rishonim, is that we're trying to show that Shmuel is the one that speaks about the Reich HaPeh. And how do we show that Shmuel is the one that speaks about the Reich HaPeh? By saying Shmuel made a comment in this entire parak. What does this mean, that Shmuel made a comment in this entire parak? Explain the Rishonim. Virtually in every Mishnah in this parak, we have a comment made by Shmuel. And that's why Shmuel, like Pasuk Pumei, Shmuel knew all of the halachas that are mentioned in this parak. My Mekametz, continues the Gemara, who exactly is a Mekametz? Amar Yehuda, Zeh Mekabetz Tzoyis Klovim, somebody who collects the waste of dogs. There's, Rashi says, that he doesn't know why would anybody need the waste of dogs. But he says that they did, in certain places, collect the waste of dog that was used for detergent. Other places it was used for working with leather. Meisvei. So ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa says, Mekametz Zubursi. The Mekametz is the person who works with leather. Ask the Gemara, Ul Tameich, but according to you, Tikshlach Masnisen, the Mishnah clearly cannot hold that a Mekametz is Bursi. Because our Mishnah, Tikshlach Masnisen, because let's learn our Mishnah. And our Mishnah clearly is identified that there are two different professions. Our Mishnah speaks about Mekametz, a Mehatzar from the Fchoshes, and a Bursi. So isn't it clear that the Mishnah clearly holds that Mekametz is not a Bursi? Says the Gemara, Bishlam Masnisen Lakasha. That question can be answered. Kamba Bursi, Godel, the Mishnah that speaks about Mekametz is talking about the Mishnah speaking about Bursi. There's a Bursi, the Mishnah is talking about Bursi, and Khan that says it's talking about Bursi cotton. In other words, there are two different types of Bursi. One is a Bursi Gadol, and one is a Bursi cotton. More, less. El Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. So what is the definition of a Bursi Gadol and Bursi cotton? So one shot that I saw, that the definitions of Bursi Gadol and Bursi cotton is one that works with a lot of waste, so his smell is particularly repugnant, and Bursi cotton is he doesn't work with so much waste, so his smell is not as difficult. But then I saw a different pshat that's just the opposite. The person who's a Bursi Gadol is the administrator of the business. Since he's the administrator of the business, he doesn't really get his hands that dirty. The person who's the Bursi cotton is the person that gets his hands dirty. And since he gets his hands dirty, that's why it's more of a smell. But back to our question, El Rabbi Yehuda, that says that Mekametz is a Mekametz Basik Mekotzoyes Klovim, the person who collects the waste of the dogs, Kasha, that the Brisa clearly just said that the Mekametz is the Bursi, answers the Gemara Tanayi. There's a Machloikas Tanoim. What is a Mekametz? The Tanya Mekametz is a Bursi. One, the Tanakhama says it's a Bursi. Yeshayimrim, it's a Mekametz Mekotzoyes Klovim. So when Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mekametz is a Mekametz Mekotzoyes Klovim, he has a Tana who supports his opinion. We learned further in the Mishnah about a Metzaras Nechoshis or a Bursi. Ask the Gemara, my Metzaras Nechoshis, exactly what is a Metzaras, what exactly is a Metzaras Nechoshis? Rav Ashiya Mechashli Dudi, somebody who works with copper to make with them copper pots. Rabbi Babachana Amma Samatach Mechate Nechoshis Mikara, somebody who mines copper from the ground. Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Babachana, Eze Mitzarev. Who exactly is considered a Mitzarev? Zem Mechate Nechoshis Mikara, somebody who digs out the copper from underground. Says the Mishnah. Ha'amarav, says the Gemara, Amarav, Ha'omer, if there's a husband who declares any zon ve'eni mefarnes, that he will not be supporting his wife, yoytze v'yitin ksuba, then he's obligated to divorce his wife and pay out the ksuba. Azar b'lazar, Sir b'lazar, when, says the Gemara, v'am l'shmatza kamed Shmuel. He set over this halacha to Shmuel. Omer, so Shmuel said, "Achsuas Ari Lazar, go give Lazar barley teat." Barley was considered a machal behema, a food that was served to animals. And he says his halacha is so wrong that he said something that is befitting that he should eat animal food. So because the Mishnah says, "Because Achakayfen say laitzi yichfu Lazar," it were forcing him instead of forcing him to get divorced. Why didn't they just force him to pay the mezonos that he has to give? Says the Gemara, for Rav. And Rav, who did say that they get divorced, why did he say that? Why didn't he say, let them just force them to support her? Says the Gemara, even if he's going to support her, what kind of marriage can this be? Ain't Adam Dorim Nachlish B'Kvifa, we can't expect the wife to have to live together with her husband who treats her this way. Says the Gemara Kisolik Reb Zera. When Reb Zera went from Bava to Tzisrael, Ashkechel Reb Yomim Pebedas, the Yosef Kamal Mishmed Reb Yochanan, they were saying the name of Reb Yochanan, Amalei, that he also agreed with Rav. Amalei, Reb Zera said to him, Al da achsu saran la'loz be'bovel. Don't be so quick to agree, because Allah was given animal food for saying this. Amar Yudam Ravasi, Eime Asim, Ela Lipsulis. The only time he says, we force a husband to divorce his wife is if the marriage is possible. If he married somebody who he's not allowed to be married to, says the Gemara, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. When this was said to Shmuel, Omer kigoin, what does that mean? Does it mean almano kain godl, grush v'chalutz kain hedjit, mamzeres nasin liyisrael, bas yisrael nasi lamamzer, avol nasi isha? According to you, what will be the halacha if somebody marries a wife, and they were together for 10 years, and they have no children? According to you, we don't force him to get married. It's because the halacha is that if somebody was married for 10 years without children, they need to get divorced, so he should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Revu. But as we learn, because the pasuk says the Miketz Eseshonim L'Sheves Avram Be'eretz Canaan, after 10 years, he said he meant to marry Hagar because he was not able to have children. As we also learned this Gemara Masech the Yevamis, that this halach is only, according to some opinions, applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Even if they were married for 10 years and they didn't have children, is an example of Kaifan Isa Lahaitzi that we force them to get separated. The Rishonim debate that when is the halach of Kaifan Isa Lahaitzi? Is it only in a time and a place like we live now, where a husband can't have a second wife. So since he's obligated to have children, and he can't have a second wife, that's when Kaifer Nisul Ayitzi. Or even in a place where he can have a second wife, but maybe he doesn't want to have a second wife, and therefore the halacha is Kaifer Nisul Ayitzi. We could demand that they get divorced when they didn't have children for those 10 years. Tanan, ask the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah, these are the cases where we force the husband to divorce his wife. Mukashchin, Ubal Polippus, Makamitz, Matsarif, Nechosh, Bursi. So our Mishnah seems to be saying that these are the only situations where we forced a divorce. So ask the Mishlomler Ravasi, according to Ravasi, that the only time we force a termination of the marriage is when there's an Isser involved. So we understand why our Mishnah, these are not mentioned. Because the Rabbana Ketani, our Tana only speaks about situations where there's a Chiyav the Rabbanon, where the Rabbanon we force them to get married, to separate. The Raisa Loi Ketani. But we don't speak about situations where somebody married a woman whom the Raisa is not allowed to be married to. That's not mentioned in our Mishnah. The Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Rashba ask, so why doesn't our Mishnah mention the Shni L'Rayis? We've learned many times in our Shiurim that there are a group of women who are Shnius. They're not Osam D'Raisa for you to marry. They're Osam D'Rabbanon. So if we're saying our Mishnah is mentioning the Rabbanons, so the Shnius should be mentioned in our Mishnah. So he says that the Ramban answers that there's a difference between the cases that I mentioned in our Mishnah, which are all cases where a husband and a wife have difficulty living together as husband and wife, versus where it's a halachic issue. A shnia is not because there's something wrong with the husband, something wrong with the wife. It's a halachic issue. That is a mention in our Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, Ella, l'ratachlifi ba'avimi, listener, what is in our Mishnah also include Nasi Ish Vishoima as a Shonim Vla Yalda Kaifanasai. He just said that if a couple were married for 10 years and they didn't have children, they have to get divorced. Now that's an Issa the Rabbanan. And we're saying that we're not mentioning the Rabbanan. Our Mishnah mentions the Rabbanan. Why isn't this mentioned? Answers the Gemara Rav Nachman Loi Kasha. Ha Bamili. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah that speaks about, that the halacha that speaks about being married for 10 years and not being able to have children, they have to get divorced, that's only Bamili. We try to convince him to get divorced. Ha, the Mishnah that speaks about the various situations where we force a divorce, are speaking about a situation B'shaiti. We don't just speak about it, we actually take force to force them to separate. Maskel of Abba, says Rav Abba, how can we say that when a person is married to a woman and they didn't have children, all you need to do to separate them is just talk to them? The pasuk says, "Bidvarim lo yivaser eved." Nobody's going to change the mind just if you speak to them nicely. Elam Amar Rashi, Elam Amar Rav Abba, Hava Habashoti. In all situations, if we want to force something, we need to use force. Hasam, in our Mishnah, Ki Amra, if the woman says, Havina Bade, I know all of the issues, but I want to remain married to him. Shefkinala, we allow them to remain married. Hacha, whereas in the case of Rav Tachlifi Bar Avima, where they didn't have children, Afgav the Amra Havina Bade, even if the woman says, we're prepared to remain married, La Shefkinala, because they're supposed to have children. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Very Mukashchin, in the case where Rahman Tzlan, the husband is a mukashchin. Dafgav, Amr Havina Bade, Leshevkinale. We don't allow them to remain remarried, even if the woman is willing to stay with him. The Tanan, because Amishta said that in all the different cases a woman could accept, Chotzer Mukashchin, by a mukashchin, we force them to get divorced, name a maksoi, because the mukashchin starts to lose parts of his body, and therefore, since it's such a horrible situation, we force them to get divorced. So how can we say that the cases of our Mishnah are talking about a case where she could agree to stay with him. Answers the Gemara, Hosom, but a mukashchin, ki amra, if the wife were to declare, Dairin Bahadei Basadi, I want to remain with him, and we'll always have Edom that we'll always have Edom making sure that we don't have Tashmish. Shefkinala, we will allow that marriage to continue. Hocha, whereas the woman who didn't have children, Afal Gavda Amra, even if the woman is going to say, Darina Bade Besade, I'll remain, there'll be Edom, Le Shefkinala, we don't let them remain married. And the reason we don't let them to get married, because we're concerned that he won't marry another woman as long as he's married. There's another woman, there's no other woman who may be prepared to marry him if he already has a wife. And we want him to fulfill the mitzvah of pruravu. And since we want him to fulfill the mitzvah of pruravu, we won't let them remain together under any circumstances. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Sokli zaken echem anshe shlaim. One of the anshe shlaim told me, Esrim v'abar mukishkin hein. There are 24 types of mukishkin. Kulan amr chachamim tashmish koshel hein. All of them tashmish is particularly problematic. Ula bali harosin. There's one of the type of mukishkin who's called bali rosin. By him, the issue is koshem kulan. It's the most difficult by an individual who's a Bali Rosin. And the Gemara will elaborate on who the Bali Rosin are. Says the Gemara, Mamai Havi, ask the Gemara, what causes Rachmana Litzlan, somebody to get this terrible disease? Says the Gemara, Mamai Havi, the Tanya, Sheik is dam, if somebody had bloodletting, and then immediately after the bloodletting, Shimesh, he had relations with his wife. That causes him to have banim vaisikim, to have children who are very weak. He kizu shneim, if both the husband and the wife had a kazas dam. And right after that kazas dam, shimshu, they had relations. Havale banim bali rosin. That's how somebody, Rachman Slon, could end up with children who are bali rosin. Amra papa, says Rav papa, when does this happen? Loya Marin, says the Gemara, that it only happens El Deloy Tar Midi. They didn't eat after that causes dam. Aval Tar Midi, if they eat something before they have relations, less lambo, then these concerns are not that so significant. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal explains that the Pasuk says, V'inaga Hashem as paroi, Negoyim Gedoylim. And the question is, what is considered Negoyim Gedoylim? So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that the Torah is trying to point out that what was the punishment that Hashem brought on Paroi, that he was Bali Rosin. And the Gemara just said that the Bali Rosin are the worst. And that's what the Torah wanted to say, that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish Paroi, but he punished him with being a Baal Rason, which is the most difficult of all the punishments. Says the Ramayas to say, what is the refuah for Baal Rason? Am Rabaya, Pila, there's a grass that's called Pila, the Ludna, and there's another type of grass that's called Ludna, the Girda da Kaisa, the peel of the walnut tree, the Girda da Ashpa, and what we take out from the animal, the waste that we scrape off the animal's leather, the klil malka, it's a type of a grass, or maschel adikla sumka, the dates, the peel of red dates, the shalkul ba'adeh dadi, take all these ingredients and cook them together, or ma'ile lebeis the shisha, then take the person who's suffering from this disease into a home that's made out of marble. Since it's made out of marble, it's sealed that no air could penetrate. V'loy ikabes the shisha. And if there's no home like that available, ma'ale lebeis the shev limna v'aricha, take him into a home that has a wall that's made out of seven bricks. V'not le tlasme kosal reishoy, he should take this mixture and pour it on the head of the sick individual 300 times. ad the rafi arisa de moichai, until his skull gets soft, the karol moichai, and then cut open the skull, or maisa arfa tafa de asa, bring four leaves of a hadas, or madli kolchad karam, each one of them should lift a leg of the sheretz, or moisef chad, and put one of the leaves under that, the shokel b'tzavso, and then take tongs, the kololei, and burn it. Diloi, if you don't burn it, hadalavei, the sheretz will come back. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan would make an announcement. He's haru mizvuvei shabali rosin. Be very careful that these ants that are on the put on the head of the bali rosin, so they have the ability, Rachman Tzlon, of carrying the disease. Since they have Rachman Tzlon, the ability to carry the disease, you have to be very careful not to come in contact with these ants. Rav Zeira lo yavi yosa b'zikai. Rav Zeira would stay away from anybody who will suffer from this disease. Rav Elazar lo yaya ba'ale. He wouldn't go into the home of a person who had this disease. Rav Ami, Rav Asi lo yachli mibei dahi mivol. They wouldn't eat eggs from the street on which a Baal Rosson lived on. But says the Gemara, to the contrary, Rav Shuman Levi, he would go close to the Baal Rosson, Vosik B'Torah, and he would learn Torah. And he was sure that B'Schus HaTorah, nothing would happen to him. V'Amar, Amar, he said, Ayelas Ahuvim, V'Yalas Chayim. If somebody who learns Torah has the ability to be nice, that he should find favor by everybody, a guni la magna, it certainly protects anybody who learns Torah could be have nothing to worry about. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Shua would stand next to them while he was learning Torah, and he wasn't worried about being near them, because he was convinced that the schus of the Torah would take care of him. But according to Rashi, it seems that he only wasn't concerned when he was learning Torah. But if he wasn't actually learning Torah, he was concerned. Ritvos says that even when he wasn't learning Torah, he would come in contact with them, because he said, since I am a person that's learning Torah, I need not be concerned. So Rabbi Chanan asks, even though we know that there's a rule throughout Shas that shluchei mitzvah ain't in the zaykin, that people who are involved in mitzvah need not be concerned, but the pasuk says v'yoyim shmul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Shmuel to Shaul, and Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Eilech, how could I go v'sham Shaul v'hergeni, and Shaul will hear and he'll kill me. So he didn't rely on the concept of shluchei mitzvah ein nezaken. And the Gemara says that the reason he didn't rely on shluchei mitzvah ein nezaken is because b'makom the shchich hazeka, in a place where there's a real concern, we can't rely on shluchei mitzvah ein nezaken. So why over here do we find that Rabbi Shuvan Levi was not concerned? So B'chanan says, indeed, even though we know shluchei mitzvah ein nezaken, we can't rely on shluchei mitzvah in the zaykin, if it's shchich hazek, if something to really to be concerned about. However, when somebody says Rabbi Chanan has the schus of Talmud Torah is a much more effective protection than any other mitzvah. And as the pasuk says, kinei mitzvah Torah are. And therefore, somebody who, like we just learned, Rabbi Shuvan ben Levi, learns Torah, he didn't have to be concerned. However, the Ritva says that the only person who could rely on Talmud Torah is only a person who learns Torah Lishma. If somebody learns Torah, but we don't know if he learns the Torah's Lishma, then we can't be confident that he has nothing to worry about. The Chidah says that what does Rasa mean? Rasin refers to a machla, to disease of Ruchnius. It refers to somebody that Rasin, that everything he sees has an effect of him. Sometimes it has a negative effect of him. Says the Chidah, what is the antidote to that disease? Learning Torah. The Satmar Rebbe says that Rosin means that somebody is an apikiris. And he explains that somebody who learns Torah, even if we have, unfortunately, an individual who is suffering from Rosson, he's suffering from apikorsis, somebody who learns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, such an individual has nothing to worry. That person can even be healed from that terrible disease of apikorsis. Torah has the ability to save somebody. And I saw, in fact, that the Cheshukei Chemed has an interesting discussion. He says there was a time, there was a different situation in Israel where bombs were falling and everybody was told to remain at home. And there was a person who gave a shiur. And the question was, should he go give his shiurim, even though it's dangerous to travel? Or it's a time of sakana. And the reason he has this discussion, because we now just had a discussion, that somebody who learns Torah, the Torah protects them. The Meshech Chachma, he quotes a very interesting Meshech Chachma, that the Meshech Chachma says that it seems that the Meshech Chachma is taking somewhat of a different approach. He says that when it comes for Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, the halacha is a person is allowed to be Maisa Nefesh. So even though no one could say that he is convinced that his learning is of such a caliber that he need not be worried that the Torah could protect him, we just said from the Ritva, it's only a person who could say that he's learning Torah Lishma. Not everybody could certainly make that kind of a claim that all of his Torah is Torah Lishma. But the Meshech Chachma has a different approach. The Meshech Chachma says that for Talmud Torah the Rabbim, if somebody's trying to learn Torah b'Rabbim, one should be Meisen Nefesh for Talmud Torah the Rabbim. There's another approach that the Cheshukei Chemed suggests. And that is, he suggests that since, as the Chafetz Chaim said, we learned in our Masechta, HaMevazbiz, Ayivazbiz Yosem HaChaymish, that somebody spending money on tzedakah, he should still not spend more than 20%. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's only if you're spending money under regular circumstances. But if you're spending money for learning Torah, so there the halacha is, you could spend whatever you need to spend for learning Torah. So says the Cheshukei Chemed, if the Chafetz Chaim said that regarding learning Torah, that you could spend as much as you need for learning Torah, the same halacha suggests the Chafetz Chaim is in our case, that even though a person, of course, has to be careful, and a person is not allowed to put himself into a situation of danger, but if it's as we're learning in our shiur now, if we're learning that the person is going to teach Torah b'Rabbim, then maybe the halacha is he's allowed to put himself into a situation of sakana. Says the Gemara, Ki Av Shachiv, as Rabbi Shimon Levi was about to be nifta from the world, said to the Malach HaMavos, Zilv Avad Le'Ruusei, go and do whatever Rabbi Shimon Levi wants. Ozel, so the Malach HaMavos went, V'schazi Le'ni, appeared to him. Rabbi Shimon Levi said to the Malach HaMavos, Ach V'lei Dichti, I'd like to see my place in the Olam HaEmes. L'chai, fine. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says to the Malach HaMavos, Havli Sekinech, you have a knife that you use all the time. Please hand over your knife to me. Why did he want the knife? He was scared that what would the Malach HaMavos do to him? Like this, by taking away his knife, he wouldn't be so concerned. Why would Rabbi Shimon Levi want to see his place? So he said that if I know that I have a very good place in the Olam HaEmes, I won't be concerned about dying so much. So he says, Havli sekenech dema mavisli be'orcham. Yavinalei, he gave it to him. Kimatol hasam, says the Gemara, when they arrived to the Olam HaEmes, Dalia, the Malach HaMavos picked them up, the kamachvelei, and showed him his spot in the Olam HaEmes. Shavar, so says the Gemara, Shuben Levi jumped, Nafla Hugisa, and he jumped over to the other side of the wall and knocked him behind the glimmer. And the Malach HaMavos tried to grab him by his clothing and schlep him out from there. Amalei, b'shvuasa d'layasina. I'm making a shvu that I will not come. Amakutsh baruchu. So now the Malach HaMavos goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel and says to him, what am I supposed to do now? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if Rabbi Yeshua ever made a neder and he retracted from his neder, neheder. So we don't have to worry about this Shvua either. Viloi, but if we never found him going back on a Shvua that he made, loy neheder, leave him there. Amalei, havli siknoi. So the Malach HaMavis asked him for his knife back. Loyev Kayavale. He refused to give it to him. Nofak Baskola, and the Baskola came out for Amalei Havne Lahele, give it back to Nismer Labriyasei, because the world needs this. What does it mean that the world needs it? Because the world lives in a situation where people come and people go. And everybody has a time and place in this world, and that's why you have to let the Malach HaMavis do what he needs to do, because now is the time that people have to leave the world. So I saw the Sefer Chochma Musar says, what was this discussion? Did he ever make a shvua? He says like this. The question was, did he ever make a shvua and have to retract in the shvua? What does he mean that he make a shvua and that he had to retract in the shvua? So the Sefer Chochma Musar says, a person who lives life the way he's supposed to live life doesn't have to change his mind. He has everything planned out properly. That's the person who's organized and has all of his plans in proper shape. That's the person that we have to respect. And that's why he asked him, how did he live? How did he live? Says the Gemara further. Machus Eliyahu Kamei. Eliyahu Navi announced on Rabbi Shua ben Levi as he came to Gan Eden. Panamaklan baravoy. Make room for Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Also, for Ashkechei Rabbi Shim ben Yochai. So the Gemara says that he met Rabbi Shim ben Yochai. Davyosav Tlasa Asa Tatki Pisa. They were sitting on 13 thrones that were made out of gold. Amalei Atu Balavoy. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai said to Rav Shua ben Levi, are you that great Rav Shua ben Levi? Amalei Hein. So he asked them, Nir Sakeshas B'Yamecha. He asked them, was the rainbow ever seen in your lifetime? Amalei Rav Shua ben Levi said, Hein. He said, Im Kain, Yatu Balavoy. Because we know that the rainbow is visible for in a time when people do Averis. And if you're Rav Shua ben Levi, and you were such a great tzaddik, you certainly should have been able to protect your generation from having seen the rainbow. And says the Gemara, actually, v'lohi, d'lo havamidi, there was never a problem in his lifetime. The reason he said it, el savar, he didn't want to take credit. Lo yechse tuvos l'nafshei. He didn't want to say it, say that he was such a great tzaddik, that he protected his generation, so he said something that's not true. Says the Magen Avraham, based on this. From here we see something that, let's say a person is fasting, the Magen Avraham discusses, but he doesn't want anybody to know that he's doing this. So if he's asked, that are you fasting? He's allowed to say that he's not fasting. Why? Because he doesn't want to show off that he's not fasting. The Ben Yoyada says that he didn't actually say something that's not true. He says that the part he meant to say, not when I was young, it maybe was still a rainbow before he developed into the great Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So the law says that isn't the rainbow a natural phenomena that comes after the rain? So why is the rainbow such a proof that he is a tzaddik, he isn't a tzaddik? So I saw two pshatim. There is a rainbow, which is the natural rainbow. And that rainbow is a natural phenomena. But there is another rainbow that has in it the tchelis color. And that color is only visible when people do an aveira. And that's what the discussion was here. He says there was a rainbow. He meant that the rainbow, that's the natural rainbow that comes. But the rainbow that you're referring to, that of the blue rainbow with the tchelis indeed didn't happen. Another pshat that I saw that the Yisroch Moshe suggests, he says that what he meant to say was that the pasuk says in b'chukosei taleichu nasati gishmechem beitam. I'll give the rain at the right time. And what is the right time for the rain to come? At night. So when he said that the rain was never, that he never saw the rain, if the rain is at night, so the rainbow is at night. And at night, even if there is a rainbow, it's not seen. So what he said to say, what he meant to say was that the rainbow was never seen during the day. Never seen during the day, because in this time it always rained at night. Since it always rained at night, he had nothing. He wasn't saying something which wasn't true. Rav Chanina bar Papa Shushbeni Hava. He said, Rav Chanina bar Papa had a relationship with the Malach HaMavos. When the time for Rav Chanina bar Papa came to leave the world, Amalei LaMalach HaMavos Zilva Avalei Ruusei. Then to him they said, do whatever he requests. Ozla Gabei. So the Malach HaMavos came to Rav Chanina bar Papa, v'schazilei, and he made himself seen to him. Amalei Shafki Tlois Yamda, leave me 30 days, Adana Hada Talmudai, till I can have an opportunity to review my learning. Damri Ashimi Shabalakan v'Talmudai b'Yadai. A person should come to the Olam Emes v'Talmudai b'Yadai. There are many pshatim what Talmudai b'Yadai means. The posh pshat is that a person is going to have to give a din v'cheshbin. And since a person has to give a din v'cheshbin, the halacha is that v'talmudei b'yadai, he has to prepare himself with his learning. Some say that when a person comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's going to have to say a Dvar Torah. So give me a chance to prepare a Dvar Torah. Others I saw explain v'talmudei b'yadai means that he should write Chedusha Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to see that he had talmudei b'yadai. Another pshat that the Ben Ishchai suggests, the Talmudei b'yadai, many times people learn Torah, but the Torah that they learn is Torah that he was supported by other people that he should be able to learn Torah. But he says, the Talmudei b'yadai, he asked to come to the Olam HaEmes with nothing besides the Torah that he learned and supported by himself. Says the Maral Basa Klasi Yomim, Ozvas Chazalei. So the Malach HaMavos comes back after 30 days. Amalei, Achvali Dechtoi. So again, he asks, I want to see what is my spot in the Olam HaEmes. Amalei, Lechai. So he says, fine. Amalei, Havli Sekincha. And he too asks the Malach HaMavos for his knife. Dima, with the same concern. Dima Mavis Lebarucho, who knows what's going to happen while I travel with you. Amalei, Bechavrich Bas Lemevet Hachi. Bechavrich Bas Lemevetli. Do you want to do what Rav Shub and Levi did to me, take the knife and not return it? Amalei, Aisa Sefer Torah v'chazi. He said, take out a Sefer Torah and look. Mika Mida Dixibe, is there anything written in the Torah the like Kayamte? Everything in the Torah I want to do, I followed. And if that's the case, I should also be able to have the same schus that Rav Shub and Levi had. Amalei, so he said, did you agree to live and be in contact with people who are Bali Rosin? And that's a special madrega that only he had, and therefore you don't, only he was worthy of having this special schus, no one else. But says the Gemara, even though we're learning that Rav Chanina bar Papa was not on the madrega of Rav Shub and Levi, says the Gemara, kinach nafshei, when he passed away, nobody was able to get close to his coffin. The Gemiri, and we have a rule, that this doesn't happen only to one or two people each generation. Because only people who are very, very great are zoichet to this. Says the Gemara, Karv l'gabei, Rabbi Alexander v'amar, asei b'shvil koit chachamim. If you're going to have this fire separating you, do it for the chachamim that you shouldn't have to, that they should be able to get close to you. And also, it's extremely embarrassing to the chachamim that you have this amud of the norah and no one else. He didn't pay attention. He says, "Asebishvil kvar avicha," that you have this chus, but not your father. V'lo yashkech. Says, "Asebishvil kvar atzmacha," so you should be able to be buried. Istalak, and then the Amud Nur went away. Amrabaya, this fire is only lafukim mandaloi kayim, to separate him from anybody else who's not on the same madrego, on the same level as he is. Amalev adba masna lafukim mar to leasa. Makal Agre. The reason that he should be separated is you didn't make a fence around your roof like the Torah says. V'loihi. Meheva heva. He had a fence. What happened was, of course he made a fence. Just how he shot the Hudashad Zika, that moment the wind blew it down. Why don't we have this disease, Baruch Hashem and Bavel? Nei, she'oichlen tardin. They eat turnips. The shoysin sheikh shel hizmi. They eat a type of a beer that's made of hops that have thorns in them. Amar Rav Yochanan, "Not a mitzrayim bebavel. Why are no mitzrayim bebavel? Bnei she oichlan tardin. They eat turnips. V'shoyes and shechel. They drink beer. V'rechtze b'nar pras, which keeps them healthy, as everybody should be from these diseases." Hadron lachamad esishta. Hadron lachamad esishta. Hadron lachamad esishta.